Good whatever, everybody. It's time for another edition of the Jaded Eye Film Reviews podcast. I've got a prostate the size of a honeydew and a head full of bad memories. It's the Jaded Eye Film Reviews podcast. Good whatever, Jim.
Good whatever. That sounds like a hell of a Christmas.
Well, it's been a long time since we've been able to do a podcast due to your jet-setting adventures around the world as part of an international spy cartel of male models.
I asked you not to talk about that.
Oh, sorry. Of course. They'll be onto us now. Or you, anyway. I don't have the looks to carry it off.
Only the body.
But, that's right, between us, we're one complete person. But we happen to see a film. A new film? Or has this been out a little bit? Well, relatively new, anyway.
By the time this podcast comes out, it will bear that in mind.
Yes, of
course. A DVD release.
Well, it isn't going to take long, I don't think. But that might be a spoiler. Who knows, for the main event. That film was, as you could tell from that quote at the start, from Maury Ballstein, Zoolander 2. But before we get to that film, we have to go through the trailers, or should I say trailer. It is not necessarily indicative of the quality of the film that there was only one trailer
Point
before
of
it began.
Point of order, one trailer.
One.
I'm offended by the cinema chain that attempted to show us one trailer.
It is a decision, slash an approach, slash a reality that makes no sense to me. None. Why?
I think this is the start. I think we're going to get more and more ads, less and less trailers.
There were more and more ads, and some of them, weirdly, were ads for movies, but not trailers for movies.
And we refuse to talk about those.
Of
is
course
that the
we
law?
Do. Yes, okay. Absolutely. They have not earned discussion.
Earned?
Yeah. They only have to produce a three-minuter for us, Jim. That's all we ask of them.
Oh,
yet,
I'm
if
sorry.
They refuse, we cast them aside. They do not exist.
Or a sneak peek of 7 minutes of uninterrupted footage.
I think it's fair to say sneak peeks have not, on the balance of averages, gone in the favour of the film offering them. It's true to say some of that you have to leave for the wedding night. Don't give everything away up front. Don't open the kimono.
If only marketing knew of this.
I think they do. It's rather the last gasp, isn't it? In some cases, you know, if we look at the
panicking, show them everything because they know we're in trouble.
Because, Jesus Christ, it's Chris Pine and Tom Hardy with Reese Witherspoon in a romantic comedy called This Is War. But it's got us talking about it. Curse them.
It's worked again.
Let's talk
it?
Instead
this
about Whiskey
trailer.
Tango Foxtrot, which the
Adventures of Tina Fey in Afghanistan. Have I understood that correctly?
I think the word feminist needs to be in there at some point because they were leaning on that pretty hard.
Feminist Afghanistan?
Yeah, Feminist Adventures.
Oh, right. Okay.
Feminist
okay.
Afghanistan would be a much more surprising movie, I think. yes, it is Tina Fey in a sort of, at least semi-serious. I mean, it wasn't
based
comedy.
On a true story.
Yes, but we all know what that means.
Let's just brush that on the carpet, shall we?
Planes, Trains and Automobiles was based on a true story.
Someone once went to Afghanistan to do some reporting.
Yes, and she may or may not have been a woman.
We can neither confirm nor deny. So,
yeah.
What's going on? This looks like one of these, is it dramedies? Comedy dramas?
Yeah.
A few wacky adventures, but there'll be a serious point in the end.
There's exactly that, I think. You know, there's an element of deadpan to it that they expect to get away with a few things and a few laughs, but interspersed with, as you say, a serious moral point.
Was one of those laughs Billy Bob Thornton walking on screen?
Hey, you know.
Because it gave me a giggle, to be honest. The trailer picked up significantly when Billy Bob Thornton turned up as an army general captain.
Yeah, it was nice to see him, but isn't it always, I mean, for me personally, it's really difficult to divorce Billy Bob Thornton, the actor, from Billy Bob Thornton, the real person who appears to be mostly crazy.
I thought you were going to say from Sam Shepard.
No. His moustache was fine, but it was not Sam Shepard. Okay, for a second I thought it might have been Sam Shepard. Fair enough. But I heard the voice, and that was enough.
I wasn't the only one. We weren't alone.
And then you spend 5 seconds going, but why couldn't it be Sam Shepard?
Case in point.
Why not?
Case in point.
And then you thought, wait, is that John Hurt? William Hurt? Is it the guy that plays Colonel Thunderbolt Ross? These men are all just moustaches.
These are people who
moustaches
are
moustaches with careers attached.
They're not Billy Bob Thornton. Is
that
yes, what you're saying?
It's true. So yes, no, neither of those gentlemen was in it. Billy Bob Thornton was, and they want to do some reporting in Iraq, so they ask for volunteers. and they round up all of the experienced people who don't have kids or anything to live for and so on and so forth.
Kids or relationships.
Yes, kids or relationships, that's it. And they send them out to Iraq to presumably, ask them their top 10 tips for burning a bit of belly fat every day or whatever journalism exists in the form of these days.
I'm pretty sure they were supposed to be working for the New York Times and not BuzzFeed.
Okay, well,
that would make a far better film.
I think BuzzFeed owns the New York Times now, don't they? The 10 hottest dictators, or, 20 times that Saddam Hussein told the truth on Twitter, or whatever BuzzFeed Iraq puts up.
So, yes, that leads to, I guess, a series of wacky hijinks.
And they were semi-wacky, as you say. Semi-serious wacky hijinks.
So, certainly some true story elements here. Tina Fey is playing a character called Kim Barker.
Right.
Who also has a writing credit for a book.
Classic.
So, I suspect it's the film of
American journalist has never lied about their experiences in a war zone. Constantly to become a bestseller. So, I'm sure that's not what's happened here. Now,
who's in the rest of the cast? So we said Billy Bob Thornton was our headline.
We did. I don't think that's fair. It's obviously Tina Fey. It's obviously Tina Fey and Margot Robbie
leading the way. Yep. Absolutely.
And all the men are scumbags, obviously. Taking sleazy pictures of them, being useless boyfriends. Martin Freeman.
Fan of Tina Fey, is that correct?
I am indeed. Yes. Yes.
This is 30
almost
Rock.
Everything that
Saturday Night
she
Live.
Does. 30 Rock and. Latterly, a personal favourite is the indomitable Kimmy Schmidt, which is available exclusively on a particular internet streaming service. and it's very funny. So yes, I like Tina Fey a lot. I like what she does. I like her writing.
What about her film career then?
I haven't seen a lot because she seems to have made mostly shit. Actually, it's not true. Mean Girls, I believe she wrote as
so
well
there's
as being
a screenplay
in,
credit
as a,
for Mean Girls. Yeah. Yeah.
As a minor part in there as one of the teachers. She did that Steve Carell thing, Date Night or something, which looked like it should have been good on paper, but definitely wasn't from the trailer.
That would be Date Night, yeah.
And, from the reviews. So that's a bit of a shame, but I don't know. Sure, didn't she do something with Amy Poehler over the Christmas period, the two of them or something? I don't know. Yes, you're right. For someone who likes Tina Fey, I really seem to avoid all of
her
movies.
Could have been Sisters.
Probably. So I do.
That's Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. So
yeah, so I do seem to avoid all of her movies.
Is it one of these classic cases where we have another TV superstar who isn't translating to the film world?
I don't.
Is
know.
She the female Luther?
The female Idris Elba.
Idris Elba.
I don't think so. I think we've got.
I mean, she hasn't dressed up as a Marvel superhero and done nothing in the film yet.
Not yet.
Has she done a crazy French accent yet?
I'm almost certain she will have done at some point. But also, I think it's more, or at least partly, the fact that a lot of these American comedies don't tend to do so well over here. So we have a bit of a distorted view of actually what we think is a bit of a stinker may well have done, gangbusters
right.
in the US.
Yes, we think the comedy maybe doesn't translate.
Certain types, I think, are distinct to an American audience that don't necessarily resonate as much with a
British
one.
Are we talking
about
today's film by any chance?
Not necessarily. We'll get onto that in a second, but I'm not sure who the hell that was for.
as you say, co-starring Margot Robbie, who's apparently now the current It Girl of Hollywood.
Is she?
Big role, obviously, was The Wolf of Wall Street.
God, I hated that film.
And she's in The Big Short, the other big
now
Wall
that's
Street
supposed to
related
be very good,
film.
But,
big role in Suicide Squad. She's
oh,
in
yes.
The Legend of Tarzan.
Of course she is. She's Harley Quinn in the upcoming Jared Leto vehicle.
Without wanting to sound harsh.
Moving Suicide on. Squad.
Without seeming so harsh, it seems like the year. And you fear for her career after this year, don't you?
Who else did we see that had a year? Michelle Monaghan?
Yes.
Yeah, she had a year, didn't she? Bye, Michelle. Robert Downey Jr. and you get a Tom Cruise film and then you're done.
And then that's it. We write you out of the franchise, do we all? You're saying back to TV. I mean, it's the way Hollywood treats these actresses.
It's true.
You get hot and it doesn't last. You're not allowed to do anything of fun.
No.
Has Emily Blunt had her chance? Do you think
I don't know. She I think, is a little tenacious because she's hung around in a few things. She's had her Tom Cruise film. Has she had a Robert Downey Jr. film yet? I don't think so. No. But she's been in Sicario.
That's true.
She's branched out a little. And, you know, I have hope because others aren't, but Emily Blunt is a good actress as well.
This is Margot Robbie's Sicario, is it? Is that what it should be called?
Maybe.
I mean, she looked good in the trailer.
Yeah.
Looked entertaining, but slightly different role to what we've seen in certainly Wolf of Wall Street.
I hated that film.
A bit of range.
I really hated it. Hate.
Played well with Tina Fey in the couple of minutes we saw. I think they'll make a fun double act.
Is this being pitched as enough of a war movie to get guys to go along and enough of a relationship chick flick to get girls to go along, i.e. a four quadranter, and, you know, again, bear in mind I'm oversimplifying who appeals to what and blah blah blah.
From this trailer I didn't get the whole it's all about relationships angle.
It's all about women, though. It's all about feminism.
Does that mean it has to be about relationships, though?
No.
Is that what you're saying? Feminism is basically finding the right man.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Exactly. That's what they mean. Yes. That's all, you know. That's what they're making a fuss about. They haven't found the right guy yet. That's what I keep saying.
Wow.
No, Jim, of course not. Of course that's not what I mean. You've had
enough of annoying the whole Scottish and Australian populations. You're now going with women.
Yeah, but, you know, I definitely, like, put my name under your picture on the website, so... So it's fine. That's fine. I mean, it explains why,
it's,
you know, you got attacked
show,
in South
pretend
Africa.
Pretend you have my beautiful face. That's why.
I think that's why people attack you around the world, wherever you go, but there you go.
We'll try and get back to Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Well, we can, sure. I mean, obviously
Martin
the name...
Martin Freeman's in it, as you say.
Probably
drippy, not doing much.
Drippy, either current boyfriend or drippy new boyfriend.
I thought he was supposed to be new boyfriend.
I thought so,
certain.
But I mean, it's hard to divorce Martin Freeman.
Maybe that's
from
the
drippy.
Twist. She's trying to, you know, because they've always got to pick between two guys.
Right.
Maybe it's between Martin Freeman and Martin Freeman.
Wow. He's doing a Tom Hardy.
He plays like the American drippy boyfriend and then the slightly less drippy American boyfriend.
In Afghanistan,
maybe that's it.
And he does that slightly disappointed face.
Doesn't that come naturally?
I think so. Or he's an incredible character actor who's gone very
He's
method.
Actually the happiest man on the planet, and it's all just an act.
All those behind-the-scenes photos from The Hobbit
he's method.
Were a lie.
He can't, you know, no, he can't. He won't go out of his role while filming.
I don't remember Bilbo being particularly grumpy and sweary, though. Anyway, yes,
also,
Martin Freeman.
Sporting an amazing beard. How have we not talked about Alfred Molina yet?
Oh, yeah.
Being
sleazy. His character's not even named on
the
credits.
No, so who knows who he's playing?
We love an Alfred Molina. Obviously, best known for his sterling work as Dr. Octopus in Spider-Man 2. I also saw him in, Coffee and Cigarettes years ago with the Jim Jarmusch film.
Regularly on the theatre, I believe, on the stage. But, yeah. Popular film actor.
Do like him a lot. And he's playing some sort of Afghani...
Was he a warlord?
I mean, is that
president?
Racist? We didn't see that he was a warlord, but he did like to fire off automatic weapons with people.
But so did Tina Fey. That was clearly demonstrated. She enjoys firing automatic weapons.
Yes, that's true also,
well.
But remember, she's an American. So that is freedom.
Right, of course.
Whereas he was foreign-looking, so he's an evil man. A warlord, probably. Yes.
I forget how simplistic the world of Hollywood is.
Of course. So, you know, did it look good, though?
I think there's something to it.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not completely bored by it. I think there's a...
I won't go out in the rain to watch it.
Is this your new benchmark?
Well, it is for today.
A rotten, miserable, rainy day, for certain. Yeah. But I think it has... I think you're telling me Tina Fey's fun.
Yes,
it's got Billy Bob Thornton. That's a plus.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a pleasant person. So
there are still films to be made about Afghanistan and you know, all the mess that happened there.
Sure, there will be films for years, I imagine.
But I think there are still films with something different to say. That's my point. Yes, we've not reached the point where every single story feels like it's been told, a la a World War II film
a la
or
Vietnam
film. Yeah.
Maybe.
And the fact that this isn't from the point of view of a soldier in Afghanistan gives me a little bit more
complaining
hope.
About
That's
how upset it made
different.
Him to massacre people. Yes.
And it had a lightness of touch, as you say. I don't think it's going to be out and out funny.
No.
I predict for now there'll be a series of witty incidents.
Do you think it's like a serious book that Tina Fey will have sort of had some ad-libbing / story influence on, and they've kind of gone, oh, this is a bit dry. let's fun it up a little bit around the edges just to keep it interesting. Not that I'm saying that wouldn't work, but I'm just curious as to...
It appears to be based on a book called The Taliban Shuffle.
Hilarious.
Now, you know, that could be or could be not Strange Days in Afghanistan or Pakistan. Available from another internet retailer now.
Have you just downloaded the ebook?
Me.
My word.
I think I've just bought the whole thing, yes.
Oh, there is a lot of pornography on your Kindle. Goodness me.
What can I say? You know.
I don't think you should. It's being recorded. Okay.
So moving on to our next trailer. Oh, God, we can't even move on to another trailer.
How do we get out of this? Out of those trailers, Jim, which one are you going to see?
I'm going to see the one we're not allowed to talk about because it wasn't a real trailer. Oh. It was just an advert.
Wait, which of the two? Which of the two adverts that weren't a real trailer?
You'll never know because I'm not allowed to describe it.
Not allowed to say. Well, I'm going to go and see Yogi Bear. No. I'll see Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. I owe it to Tina Fey for all those hours
of free
entertainment.
It's about time you
what
you paid to see.
It is about
hers,
time,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is. All these people say they love me on TV. Nobody comes to my bloody films. I'm sorry, Tina. I do.
And
owe
you know,
it to
so
you.
As we say, hopefully supporting a film with two female leads.
Sure.
Hopefully that isn't just
that
about
tells
them
a different
a man.
Story. Absolutely. Why not? Yes, we're all for it. So, without further ado...
With very little ado beforehand.
With barely an A, let alone a do, we're going to have to move on to the main event, begrudgingly, which this time was... Zoolander 2. Why didn't they call it Zoolander?
Because no one would have
known.
Too
clever? Too clever.
I suspect because they wouldn't have thought the audiences would have figured out that this was a sequel to Zoolander.
Is that because they treated the audience as stupid as the male models?
That might well be my opinion of it, yes.
They make a big play of how dumb the male models are, but not as dumb as their own audience, in their opinion. Oh boy, howdy. This is a sequel directed by Ben Stiller to the first film that Ben Stiller directed, I believe. Obviously, he's written a few and starred in many, but I think his directing debut was Zoolander, was it not? And
right, okay. We've got to go through tons of production credits.
That was back in 1999, was it? Or 2001?
If we pretend The Cable Guy never happened...
Sure, we should.
Then yes.
Excellent.
And Reality Bites and a few TV episodes. But okay, ignoring all right. of those, yes.
Cool.
It
so
was
close.
His first ever directed film.
It was his first good film. And it's taken a long time to get to a sequel, which either means they're taking the Pixar approach of making sure they get the story exactly right, making sure there is a valid story to tell, taking the time to let the characters breathe and age and grow in the public consciousness and swell with support for a new endeavor that takes them on and really develops them past the initial film that we saw
right.
and brings along everything that they learned
there.
Finds
a reason to exist.
And grows in all ways and surprises us in new ones as we learn to grow with those characters as well.
Or
they took the new Pixar approaches, which is fart out a sequel every 3 months and just make something that will hopefully sell to as many demographics as we can hit on by just including stupid... puff piece.
So you didn't
nonsense.
Like this then?
I don't know. I don't know what it was. What was it? It was weird.
Well, it wasn't very funny.
No. Although there were a couple of laughs. I noted. From you, especially. And me. But then I laugh when you laugh, because it's funny when you laugh.
That weird staccato motion I make.
No, it
really
reminds me.
You.
You know, I forget that people have, like, emotions. And then when you laugh, I'm reminded that some things are funny.
You need to fake them.
Exactly.
Fine. Yes. I found one character funny. It wasn't a cameo, because I guess he had more than one scene.
Okay. You're talking about...
consistently funny.
You're talking about, allegedly, angry drunk Kiefer Sutherland.
That would be the one.
Right. Once again, difficult for me to divorce.
Method.
Yeah.
Gives everything 100%.
Looks a little bloodshot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he has 3 or 4 scenes in the film, and he knocked each one out of the park, and it was really funny.
Okay.
And I enjoyed that bit.
Nothing
and
else.
And that's literally
that's it.
It.
In what
it was...
was
awful.
Okay.
I haven't been that bored in the cinema for many, many years.
But there was plenty going on. You know, it was only 1 hour was 40 there? Long.
It was just like wheels. There was a lot of plot going on.
Yes, but exactly.
Why do I care about any of this plot?
Therein
lies
the problem.
What is any of this plot leading to?
Nothing. Nothing and no one and nobody cares because the broad strokes of it are so well telegraphed that it is utterly uninteresting when the reveals come. And equally, it's couched in such complete Hollywood, here's the twist nonsense, that even the characters in the film itself say, but hang on, that basically means everything up to here has made no sense. Why would anyone do any of it? And they seem to think that they can skirt over that by going, you know, you're just stupid. God, look at you, stupid face.
And is that them looking at the camera again to the audience?
But, you know, you have to go, no, actually, what you're admitting is that there isn't any way we could care about any of this because none of it matters. And just saying, yeah, aren't you an idiot for thinking this would make sense, doesn't endear the film to me. If anything, it makes me care even less about it. You know, there was a lot, like there were so many cameos, there were so many guest stars, there were so many different sets and different set dressings.
It looked expensive, didn't it?
It looked really expensive to end up with something that I did not care about from one long second to the next. And let's bear in mind, it's a film in which Justin Bieber gets killed. That should elicit some response.
Not even that was entertaining.
Not really. And by the way, they definitely spoiled all the best bits in the trailer.
Do you mean they had all of Keith Sutherland's scenes in the trailer? Because I did not see that coming.
Only
you. They spoiled the best cameos.
They spoiled the best, you know, scenes and jokes they had.
Right.
Some of which they spoiled in the film almost, like they set up a joke and then hit it almost immediately for no reason. Like Mugatu escapes from prison and he is now bald and enormously muscular. And then 2 seconds later, he tears it off to reveal that actually he's not at all.
Right, yeah.
And you're like, well, what was the point of pretending that he was if you're going to take like 3 seconds to then go, nope, not really. Nothing of this means anything. Don't bother paying attention. It's all pointless. Who cares? It didn't mean anything. They threw so much at it, but it meant nothing.
Some of that you would have bought, I think, had it have been funny. But
the central,
you could have. I just felt everything that Stiller and Wilson did was so tired, so unfunny. Every single gag was Ben Stiller not understanding something.
Yeah.
And then people very carefully explaining it to the audience in case the audience didn't understand it.
Unsure.
How many times
of their
did Ben
audience.
Stiller go, oh, I don't get it? And so they turned to the camera and go, in case you didn't get it either, here's what I really mean.
And it was really obvious. Yes, it's one of those times when, like when you see great scenes of people ad-libbing off each other and it really works and it sparks. It was two people desperately not playing off each other at all. They didn't even seem like they, you know, it wasn't that they weren't trying, it just wasn't happening. I mean, did they get bored halfway through this? Like, once they got the money to film
rehearsals.
It? Yeah, once they got the money to film it and they'd written it, did they realise they didn't want to do it anymore?
Maybe. Was Ben too busy directing to really quit?
I think that's part of it, yes. I think he was too close to you see what. Because, like you said, it does look really expensive. There's a lot of different locations involved, a lot of sets. There's a lot of, obviously, as you'd expect, costumes. But there was a lot of, I wouldn't say unnecessary, but stuff you didn't need to have if you didn't want to have it in there. So it kind of seems like it's a bit of, when you've got the writer, the director, and the star all being the same person, sometimes you can be way too close to what you think you're doing to realize, actually, you haven't stopped to think why you're doing it and whether anyone else
that
is going to care.
That could be part of it. I mean, he had 3 other writers to help out, which is baffling. Credits for Ben Stiller, Justin Theroux, Nicholas Stoller and John Hamburg.
Wow.
Obviously, Justin Theroux was also in the film and has been involved in some Ben Stiller stuff.
Everyone was in this film, though, weren't they? I mean, including a slew of fashion celebrities, and I've no idea who any of them are.
Well, that's strange, because each of them was very specifically introduced by going, hey, look, it's you, Tommy Hilfiger. I'm going to spoil one of the cameos. Yeah. Damn.
But then it brings me to my point, you know, at the start, who is this for? Because it's not for fashion fans, because they have to go, look, it's Anna Wintour from Vogue magazine. And
wasn't the point of the first film making fun of all that?
Yeah.
So, is it this classic thing where they're no longer making fun of it, they're part of it, and so it doesn't work exactly. at all? Is that is that looking too deeply into it?
It's a change of stance from outsider looking in to actually, you know, it's been embraced by the
what they were making fun of.
Yeah.
I think that's happened.
I mean, I think we could tell that from the fact that a super premium vodka is doing an exclusive Derek Zoolander version. And that is an expensive vodka.
Are you sure
vodka.
That exists?
I mean, it's an expensive vodka, and the ad...
You're our expert when it comes to expensive drinks.
But it's so baffling, because you're like...
Are you saying
it's more
or less than White Lightning?
It depends how much you distill your White Lightning, really. or water it down with petrol. It was so baffling, because... They should understand that having Derek Zoolander, even, you know, as a joke, like, promote your product, is a terrible idea. Like, he's supposed to be an idiot. He's supposed to be the guy that we laugh at, and you shouldn't think
but
as a
not,
super premium brand.
The people who made this film think we're all as thick as Derek.
Yeah, or that we love him because he's just like us.
Because he's one of us.
Well,
do you want to attempt to cover anything of the plot? Because there's so much to get through,
yeah, and
even without spoilers,
and it's incredibly self-indulgent.
It's probably more
as
plot
well.
Than the last Bond film. Is that fair?
Yes, and although it was deeply boring, it made more sense than the last Bond film, but only just. They did do the similar thing that at the end they just kind of go, "Well, that's what you think," but unnecessary twist that means everything that came before is meaningless and nonsensical now. So Derek Zoolander and Hansel. Basically, at the end, at the immediate beginning, they take pains to let you know that they are not going to be developing the relationship between Derek Zoolander and his personal growth as he is influenced by his new wife, Matilda, by saying, "She's dead, she died now, it was horrible, moving on." Just to let you know that they're not going to be having a female lead in it who isn't quite literally a swimsuit model who spends a good chunk of the film in her underwear. His wife in the first Zoolander, played by Christine Taylor, his actual wife, Ben Stiller's wife in real life, and also you may have seen her as the woman who did not like him in Dodgeball. Wasn't that funny? Because they're really married. Ha ha ha.
That was funny.
Sure.
let's just make sure, you know, cards on the table, that was funny.
Okay, fine. Fine. Dodgeball was good. Yes, we'll give you that. And he gets upset at that fact and goes to become a recluse, and Hansel also does because of plot. And then Billy Zane shows up. Do you remember him from the first one? He was in the first one. I didn't remember him either.
No, I
had no idea.
And then
I was reminded, Billy Zane was in the first one for a scene. And he's in this one for two scenes. So, I don't know. He's doubled his workload in the last 10 years. And
I'm glad they named him every time. Because he's not the most recognisable cameo in the whole film, is he?
Billy Zane, of course, from Titanic when he had hair. And the classic 1996... superhero film, The Phantom.
Done.
Is it 96?
96.
Boom! Ah!
With the amazing tagline.
Slam Evil.
Slam Evil. How did I not know that was the tagline?
How did you not know that The Phantom, phenomenal. A superhero who lives in the jungle, has a outfit entirely of purple?
When's he coming to the Marvel Universe?
Who, Billy Zane?
No, The Phantom, of course.
Well, The Phantom is DC, so...
Oh, even better. He can be in the Justice League.
Mm, he should. Actually, no, he's not. He's King Features. Because they did that weird Defenders
of
the Earth thing.
He's a free agent who could sign for either.
I don't know. It may be the same people that own Popeye, so look forward to that crossover.
Is he literally being shunned by both?
Well, again, you know, his outfit is
the
purple.
Phantom and Dark Man can't get a gig anywhere. Is that how it works?
But, I mean, well, look, sidebar, The Phantom would be a great superhero to make a film out of because it has a lot of different ideas, you know, in that it's actually a title that's passed from father to son. So, like, all these films where, oh, well, we know the hero's not going to die, like Wolverine and things like that. You could actually do a Phantom film where the main hero may actually die because it's passed on through their lineage and nobody's supposed to know that actually they think he's immortal because he's been around for hundreds of years, but that's actually when one of them dies.
So
his
poor son has no choice. Basically, wouldn't this be an awful teen angsty film? I don't want to be the Phantom. I prefer black. I'm not wearing pink. It's purple, son. I'm not wearing pink.
Take your pick.
Okay.
It could be, you know, it could be the young guy taking over who doesn't want to do it and hasn't had a choice. It could be the old man who, you know, is busted up and
too slow, getting too old for this shit.
Yeah, exactly. Could be the Phantom at his peak and then, you know, two sequels in when Billy Zane wants too much money. I assume Billy Zane reprises the role.
yeah. So we're definitely going with the man too old, Kitch. A step too slow. Is that what we're saying? But I don't see where the cinematic universe is.
Well, you'll have Mandrake the Magician. Films? You'll have Flash Gordon. And you'll have Lothar, I think. They may have just invented him for the TV show. I don't remember. Who else was in that? You know what? It doesn't matter. Let's not get into the 80s cartoon Defenders of the Earth. Let's concentrate on Zoolander 2 again.
Well, we've got
again.
A lot of filling to do with only one trailer. I suppose maybe we should look up Defenders of the Earth.
Defenders of the Earth. Defenders. Yeah, it was so good. I mean, if you try and watch it now, Flash Gordon. Was terrible. But at the time, it was pretty amazing. And I think they had like a...
What's our premise? Butler Flash Gordon thing. And his son, Rick.
Yeah, Rick. Oh, all of them had to have like a teen sidekick as well. That was a mandate from the people producing the cartoon. Nope, they've
Flash,
all got to have a kid.
Mandrake. Oh, here we go. Flash Gordon, the Phantom, Mandrake the Magician, Lothar.
Boom.
Richard Rick Gordon.
Yeah.
LJ.
Is Lothar
Jedi.
Yeah,
Walker. Yeah. Who sounds like a really crap Jedi, doesn't it? Jedi Walker.
Yeah.
Kishin and Dynac X, which was a computer.
Oh, okay.
Wowee. All taking on Ming the Merciless. I see. This is light years ahead of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. How did this not be the... how are we not living in a world where
Disney did not buy
where like every Lothar. 2-3 years there's a Defenders of the Earth crossover when all of our heroes come together?
That definitely should be, by the way. copyright. We own that. This recording is proof. We own that.
Maybe they're in the background of Guardians Mandrake of the Magician Galaxy and we just never saw them.
Versus Doctor Strange. Or something, I don't know. Anyway, yes, so then...
Zoolander 2, Zoolander 2. I'll concentrate now.
Heavily made-up Kristen Wiig, to look like she's had bad plastic surgery, is a fashion mogul who invites them to a show being put on by her newest designer, Don Atari?
Don Atari, for some reason. Is he anybody I should know?
I didn't recognise him, but then, you know, maybe that's the point. Maybe he's young and cool and so on. Also, part of the plot
played
is
by
how
Kyle Mooney. So no,
okay, no.
And they had an actual actor or two. He wasn't just a random famous person.
So part
Saturday
of the plot,
Night Live alumni. Sorry.
Oh, okay. So part of the plot also was these guys are old and past it, and rather than celebrating the new, it was a desperate attempt to go, no, actually, no. Let's just still make it all about us, even though we're in our mid to late 40s now. Yeah, no, the world of fashion is for the young, but they're all stupid, so shut up. We're still important, even though all of the jokes about how we're not relevant, we'll just skip over that, because we don't know where we're going with any of this.
The podcast or the film?
Both.
Right, so okay.
Help! and then there's a million billion cameos, and they reveal that there is some conspiracy, blah, blah, blah. Only Ben Stiller can save the day, blah, blah, blah. Twist at the last minute that doesn't make any sense and invalidates everything that's gone before. It's
and
1 hour raise, 40 and it feels like 5 hours.
Now, you were very happy going in to see what was billed as a shorter film.
Yeah. God, can you imagine if it was 2 hours? I'd still be there somehow.
I just say endless, endless numbers of cameos that you kind of expect for this film, but at least some of them should be funny.
Yeah.
I mean, not a single one cracked a smile as far as I could tell. They were terrible cameos.
No, they were. Everyone from, well, are we allowed to, is it spoiling to spoil cameos?
No.
Okay, good. Well, Justin
Bieber,
because
we've got another 20 minutes to fill at least.
Justin Bieber, as we've mentioned. Susan
Who
Sarandon.
Who unfortunately gets some lines. Would have been happy if they just killed him off. Just killed him off. A line or two.
I thought he did all right, actually. I mean, you know, at least he's game, because there's a line later. Well, actually, they spoiled that one in the trailer where he says, but why did you kill Justin Bieber? And the bad guy says, really? Why did I kill Justin Bieber? And that's funny. I mean, it's not delivered in a good way. It doesn't land well, but it's a funny line. Who else? I did not see Macaulay Culkin in it.
No, I'm looking through this. Oddly, there were so many cameos and let several of them pass me by. Apparently, Lenny Kravitz was in it.
A picture of
Lenny Kravitz was in it. Ah, when they were listing the people who died or something.
Which, spoiler alert, turns out to be totally pointless. Like, they build that up like it's some big conspiracy. But actually, it isn't.
All right.
It's a waste
Where
of
was
time.
Lewis Hamilton?
Not a clue. No idea. Maybe some of these hit the cutting room floor. Possibly. MC Hammer was in it.
Of course, we'll have to wait for the extended edition.
Yeah, the...
Fine, I might have cracked a smile at MC Hammer arguing with John Malkovich. Fine, I'll give you that. I didn't laugh.
No.
But I liked the irony.
You like the idea of him maybe discussing whether or not someone could touch something.
Indeed. So even that delivery was funnier than most things in the film.
Well, we're just going to have to write a film.
Stiller and
do it.
Wilson looked, I don't know, just adrift. Mm. I mean, Wilson was doing exactly the same shitting as the previous film. So was Ben, to be fair. But as you say, none of it landed. I thought, I did feel the film picked up somewhat when Will Ferrell came back.
Yes, that's true. A there little bit. But
not
by then, they were just
way.
Rushing to end it. When they, you know.
They were a little bit. They were a little bit. Mila Jovovich got what? Did they just
Five
cut
seconds.
Her scenes from the previous film together or something?
Just about. And they go off on so many tangents that they don't bother following up on. It's almost like it was kind of... It plays like it was a pitch meeting for what ideas they wanted in the script. And then they went, yeah, they're good enough. Just slap all of them
we'll,
together
we'll
and call it a
again.
Movie. Yeah.
So, well, maybe we'll improv together a film. Is that what happens?
Maybe. Because, you know, a lot of... And I think, you know, I think it is just too close to the material to understand what...
Maybe. I felt very sorry for Penelope Cruz because she was giving it her all.
Yeah, but she was...
floundering terribly, yeah, given the most awful exposition to read out.
Absolutely. And desperately trying,
moving.
You know, casting about for a life raft and finding nothing. Yeah. Nothing but anvils.
She was really trying hard and it was just uncomfortable to watch
it
at times.
Awful.
The poor...
Yeah.
Woman was really struggling.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
The controversial
pointless.
Cameo of Benedict Cumberbatch.
Pointless.
It wasn't funny.
Fred Armisen, weirdly photoshopped onto a small child's body.
What was all that about?
No idea. Weird for the sake of weird.
Should I know who Fred Armisen is?
Maybe. American comic, does a lot of sketch comedy.
Apparently he was an Anchorman.
Briefly,
was,
yeah.
But is that because he was one of the cast of all the news reporters?
Yes,
who
exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine, so that doesn't count.
He does Portlandia with Carrie.
Is that a TV thing?
It is, yeah. It's available on some streaming services. Or rather, it's a sketch comedy show.
Safe. Oh, he was in The Smurfs 2, of
yes,
course.
Of
silly
course.
Me.
Classic.
Missed that.
So, all in all, it's a failure of a film on every conceivable level? Would that...
It's an utter disaster from start to finish, saved only by about 2.5 to 3 minutes of Kiefer Sutherland.
Okay. And, you know, if you're not as rabid a Kiefer Sutherland fan as you, not even saved by that.
I don't even understand that sentence.
Sure.
What?
You're the minimum level of Kiefer Sutherland.
That's
fan.
My
is that
understanding.
What you're suggesting?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Everyone is at you
me,
or above.
Above or dead. Isn't
okay,
that how it
sure.
works?
I think possibly in Kiefer Sutherland's presence, yes. Who knows? Who knows? Write in and tell us.
I want to be... Ugh. I mean, it's disappointing in many ways, but... Is it fair to say it's
expensive.
Not unexpected?
It did look like they put a lot on screen. I mean, if anything, it although the you know the direction of the action maybe wasn't that good, the actual stuff he managed to pack into a film is at least organisationally an impressive feat.
I'm not sure there's enough. There's as much action. Well, I don't know. There's a lot of
motion. Yeah, motion,
I mean,
rather
just,
than action.
It's just running around doing nothing and thinking it's funny, and I just I hated this film. Really did.
Well, I don't think that leaves us anywhere else to go. A short installment.
Don't remember anything of the soundtrack, do you?
No. No.
And worried about what Ben Stiller does next. I mean, is he going to revive Tropic Thunder 2? Are we going to see Dodgeball 2 after this? There's Dodgeball 2 announced.
Yes, but that wasn't his, though. That was Royston Marshall Thurber, I think.
Directed, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't Ben Stiller have a writing credit?
Probably. I don't know.
an improv credit, maybe.
I wouldn't mind maybe seeing Tropic Thunder 2, seeing what comes out of that.
But
don't
again,
think you can afford Robert Downey Jr. anymore.
No, that's very true. That's very true. But I don't know. It seems like, I think, it's a comedy sequel, and are there any good comedy sequels? Let's go there. I mean, Zoolander's a great original idea, as is Tropic Thunder, as is Dodgeball, but when you go back to the well again, if you don't have anything new...
That's it.
I think they're just throwing all
this
plot against it.
it smacks a little bit of desperation rather than an original idea, you know. But, well, there you go. We zoo-landed, so you zoo don't have to.
Have we filled the minimum requirement for a podcast?
More than they filled the minimum requirement for a film.
Excellent. Yeah. Let's get the hell out of here.
Let's go and wash our eyeballs in something better. So we'll see you or speak to you again very soon. In fact, look imminently for another podcast because today was a double bill day. Now you might have to hang on to find out what that other film was. So go search it out or have it automatically downloaded.
Don't hold your breath in case we mess up the recordings. It's true. And there's only well, in one which podcast case,
this won't
out.
Be the one that they hear. We'll just pretend this never existed, as indeed should all cinema audiences.